You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. We're giving you the best content from each episode of MLB At The Plate. MLB At The Plate airs weekdays from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern time on TuneIn. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and Ned Coletti.
Welcome into the MLB At The Plate podcast alongside Ned Coletti. I'm Holden Kushner. We're going to start the podcast out with the MLB At The Plate triple play. It's where Ned and I discuss three topics that interest us. We start the triple play updating Bryce Harper's injury situation and discussing his chances of returning to the Nationals lineup for the postseason run. Ned and I then check in on the Cubs as Joe Maddon returns to Tropicana Field to face the Rays. The offense has carried the Cubs recently, but we discuss whether the World Series champs have finally returned to form. We wrap it up by discussing the significance of Major League Baseball setting a new single-season home run record, 5,963 homers hit in the 2000 season, but tonight Alex Gordon hit home run number 5,964 in the year 2017.
The MLB At The Plate triple play.
This would be as good a time as any to talk about Bryce Harper, because Bryce Harper took BP, played a little sim game today, and the Nationals are pretty optimistic that he can actually return to action next week. Now, what does that mean when he returns? Is he going to be 100%? Mike Rizzo's on record saying he's just going to have to play through a lot of pain and what his pain tolerance is. He had the left knee hyperextension, also had a calf strain. So for me, Ned, with Bryce Harper, they are a World Series contender. They have a chance to actually win a playoff series for the first time in franchise history. Without him, they have great pitching. A guy who is an MVP candidate in Anthony Rendon. Zimmerman's having a great year. Some other guys having great years, but they don't win the World Series without Bryce Harper being Bryce Harper. And for what I've seen out of him and the two playoff appearances he's had, he has been by far and away their best player on both sides of the ball. This is great news for the Nats as it stands now, if he can get back on the field. That's just the first step.
Oh, yeah. And if he can come back next week, that gives him a few games to kind of get his timing back, because it is a game of timing, and you can have a lot of sim games and you can throw a lot of batting practice. It's nothing like playing in the big leagues. And then you talk about October in the big leagues. So it's a huge adjustment for any player. If he's able to come back and be close to what he was, that is a difference maker for that team. The night that he got hurt, boy, it was ugly. It was like, whoa, you know, that this man would even have a chance to come back is a obviously a testament to himself and his willingness and his willpower and his pain tolerance. Also a training staff to really work diligently. I didn't think we were going to see him until next April, but he's got a chance to come back the last week of September. That's great news for Dusty Baker, Mike Rizzo, and that team, because he's a changer. He's a game changer. He sits in the midst of that lineup, as good as that team has been. And you mentioned their third base, Rendon. It's got a chance to get a lot of MVP votes, and the kind of year Zimmerman's had, and on and on. He's a guy that affects probably three or four hitters in that lineup when he's in it. The pitching is different. How they pitch out of a stretch is different. It changes the entire game when you've got him in that lineup. Whether or not he can come back, question A. How he comes back, question B. But getting him back, obviously, is a big relief for a lot of people.
Well, and again, look at the Nats lineup tonight, and they're averaging 2.9 runs per game over the last eight. So maybe that's just them coming down after clinching the division, whatever it is. Yep. It's Turner, Worth, Rendon, Zimmerman, Kendrick. All right, now that's Turner, Rendon, Zimmerman. That's nice, but it's not as nice as Turner. And then you could go, you know, well, they don't put Harper, they hit Harper third. So you go Turner, Worth, Harper, Zimmerman, Rendon. I mean, he just lengthens that line. He's everything to that team. He really is. And there's been a noticeable difference for this team with their attitude, with everything about them. Here's the difference, though. And of all the great rotations that this franchise has had since 2012, and there have been some good ones, the front three with this team, by far and away the best. I mean, you got three guys that are in the ERA hunt. You got Max Scherzer pitching as well as he ever has. And two other guys, Strasburg and Gio Gonzalez, in their prime, or having their best seasons.
Yep.
I mean, it really is remarkable that all these three guys have done it. I think this year, next year, these are the two best shots for the Nationals. It'll be tough for them, maybe even to repeat what they've done this year, next year. Who knows about next year? But let's put them up against another team, and a team you're very familiar with, and a team that the Nationals saw over the weekend, the LA Dodgers. How do you think the Nats and the Dodgers match up? And let's assume that Bryce Harper is back in the lineup for Washington.
Oh, I think it's a classic series if that's where it goes. It'll be an LCS match, but if they meet, I think it'll be a classic. I think you've got a rematch from last year's Division Championship Series. You've got arguably the best pitcher in the game in Kershaw, and you've got maybe the best top three in the National League in the Washington rotation. So it would be a tremendous series. What I wonder with both teams, and it'll be interesting to see how October plays. I think October is going to be a tremendous month for baseball. But as I've watched the National League this season, the Nationals and the Dodgers have dominated these other teams. There's a lack of pitching throughout this league, and you've got a lot of teams that cannot run out a true number one pitcher or a true number two pitcher as in the number one slot. And the Nationals, great offensive club. Dodgers, great offensive club. Dodgers, who I see all the time, very, very judicious in their approaches. But when you get against good pitching, how are you going to be able to perform? And I think that's what's going to tell the story. Who can perform better if they match up? And, of course, L.A. may have Arizona to get through in order to get to Washington. And Washington's going to have the world champions to get through in order to get to an LCS. So I think the drama in the National League is going to be tremendous in the month of October. How those teams handle good pitching, I think, will tell the story, because they're both great offensive clubs, but both have just kind of run through the National League, in my opinion. Not much challenge in a lot of the pitching matchups that you see, especially when you can run Kershaw out or run Scherzer out. The other team is typically going to have a tough time generating any runs, and when their pitchers have 4.5, 5 ERAs, it's kind of been a mismatch, and you've seen it. You've seen it with two teams that are both in the 90 win thing. Washington's 190, Dodgers have 196, so be interesting to see if they match up, who can handle the better pitching.
The Cubs, you and I discussed them briefly as they get ready to start their series down in Tampa Bay. But again, they've won 20 of their last 30 ball games. We were waiting for them to get on track for a long time. And as great as they're playing, I still feel like it's a little bit smoke and mirrors. Their offense has been carrying them. They've been the best offense out there this side of the Cleveland Indians for the last month. But they're getting a big boost. Jake Arrieta is going to start for them on Thursday. For me, if you have a healthy Arrieta and he's pitching as well as he was before he went down with the hamstring injury, and you have John Lester in the playoffs, you got a chance to beat any team. Now, they're not going to be the favorites. I still think the Nationals and the Dodgers are both better than them on paper. How dangerous is this Cubs team?
Well, they're the world champions, and they don't have an old team. They actually have a very young team still. So they are very capable. And you get into a short series, and as you said a minute ago about Minnesota and the Yankees and everybody trying to get out of their wild card game, they've got a little bit of a lead on Minnesota. I think that on Milwaukee, I think they'll hold off the Brewers and win a division. I think at that point in time, it's going to be them and the Nationals. You're going to have two really good teams going at it. And whoever can pitch better in that series and have the bullpen to keep a lead is going to end up winning in it. And we can talk about Washington later on, too, trying to get Bryce Harper back by the time they get 2.5 more weeks down the road. Obviously, a big loss for them when that happened. But the Cubs, I think you always got to respect the world champion. And they've got a young club. I think they've learned a lot about themselves in the last couple of months. And Joe Maddon's gotten them winning 2 out of 3 games for the last month. So that's a pretty good spot. And you're right. Arrieta, if he can come back the way he was, you got him and John Lester, one of the great big game pitchers of this era. You've got a chance.
And I brought up Lester, who is the best postseason pitcher of his era. You can throw Bumgarner in the mix there, but you go back, it was kind of like Schilling handed it off to Lester. Lester and Bumgarner right now. Then you can back him up with Arrieta. The third guy is who you're looking for. And what Joe Maddon said was that Kyle Hendricks is pitching better right now than he did at any point in time last year. Now, think about that, because last year we were talking about him as a Cy Young Award candidate. He had just a couple of starts in July where he came back, didn't go deep into the ball games. But if you go back to August when he had a 2.41 ERA, he was actually racking up some strikeouts too, averaging about 6 strikeouts per start, started getting through 6 innings, and now he's pitching into the 7th, even the 8th inning this month, and 3 starts with a 2.66. For me, he's the X factor. This is the X factor for the Cubs. They need to get their pitching going. Obvious, I think there's issues in 7th and 8th innings, getting away Davis, but if you can throw Kyle Hendricks out there with Lester and Arrieta, that puts you and your big three up there against the big three with the Nationals and the big three with the Dodgers. And I think the Diamondbacks to that point, too. But for me, the X factor for the Cubs is Kyle Hendricks. How good is this guy? And how much do you buy into it that this guy has to be on fire?
Well, I think you're going to need three very good pitchers to make it through a playoff. And I think when you talk about him last year, I mean, he's not a hard thrower. He's a very, very smart pitcher. And I think that getting him back, and, you know, whenever, you know, Joe Maddon's one of those classic managers where he offers out some public praise just to keep his guys a little bit fresh and a little bit excited about what they got to do. But Hendricks has really pitched well of late. And as you say, last year, this guy was a Cy Young Award candidate. And you get him back, suddenly now if you get Arrieta back to being the way he was before he got hurt, suddenly you do have a big three that can match up. Dodgers have four really good ones. Darvish has pitched really well in his last start. Pitched two great games when he first came over. Pitched really well the other day. Kind of kept his delivery together. It's going to be interesting to see how all these teams, especially the Dodgers, how they do set up their rotation for a postseason. Right now it runs Kershaw and then Darvish, since Kershaw pitched last night. But you do have a lot of time left, and you got those four off days if you're not in a wild card game to kind of reset a little bit if you want. And the Dodgers may be at a touch, not a disadvantage, but the Dodgers and whoever wins the American League for best record, you got Boston and Cleveland and Houston kind of battling that out right now. They don't know who they're going to play. You get the best record until you get through a wild card game. So as far as you're putting your roster together or scouting and things like that, you got to be prepared to go either direction. So be interesting to see. But as you mentioned about Hendrick, you get him back full strength and Arrieta. You got a big three there, and guys that just got done winning a World Series, so you know they know what the moment feels like.
That is it. It has been broken at 9:15 Eastern time, 6:15 Ned Coletti time. Home run number 5,694 goes to Alex Gordon of the Kansas City Royals, and I'm going to tell you right now, he literally would have been the last person I would have picked given the season that he's had this year. Well, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, last couple seasons have not been Alex Gordon-type years. Signed a big contract and has not really come back to being where he was. But I'm not sure how many people will ever remember it or how many people care, because we can't tell you who set the record. But anyway, we're watching it tonight. Alex Gordon, 5,694th home run this season, Major League Baseball. Only 12 and a half days left.
Well, Steve Fizioc, by the way, had no idea that that was the home run that set the record. Right? Well, clue whatsoever.
Yeah, we're the only people broadcasting history here.
Exactly. Nobody else cares, which is wonderful. And they'll care later on tonight when they figure out that it's happened. But, I mean, let's talk about these 2 years where it's happened. 56-93 in 2000, 56-94. And, again, I think we got a very outside shot of getting to 6,000 this year. But 2017... And 2000 was the height of the steroid era, no doubt about it. I mean, this is the prime of the steroid era back in 2000.
Oh, they just posted it.
They
just posted it
on TV. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Great. We set the record. Now everybody else is reporting. Great. So 2000 to 2017. Listen, I'm not going to play naive and say that baseball is clear and clean of performance-enhancing drugs. But that is what fueled the record-setting year in 2000. That is not the case, in my estimation, in 2017. I still think it's out there. It ain't prevalent like it was. But for me, it's a combination of juice baseballs and a change in approach. And I know for you, there's a third component. You think the pitching is just not good.
I just don't think there's enough good pitching. And I think that that's part of it. I agree with the first two. A lot of players I've talked to that have been in the game a long time, they say the ball goes further than it ever has. It's almost like hitting a golf ball some days. You've got that. You've got a different approach. A lot of teams teach their young players. We've talked about Bellinger setting a record for how many home runs in X number of games. The kid in Oakland is one away from tying that. That record stood for 6 weeks. So, you know, you've got a lot of young guys learning how to approach it from an uppercut swing. And you've got pitching that I just don't think is as good as it's been in the past. And you got a baseball that may have a little rabbit in it.
Well, I'll say this, that don't get used to this year being the record setter. You know, at some point in time, we're going to get to 6,000 home runs. If it doesn't happen this year, then in all likelihood, it's going to happen sooner than later, because this is not a fluke. This is not just, oh, everybody's hitting home runs this year. Maybe it's a fluke with Rhys Hoskins and Bellinger and Olsen and all these guys doing it in such a short time period of time.
I don't know if we'll see 6,000.
We might see 6,000 in the next 300
away.
Week and a half.
Maybe.
What's that?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, it might happen this year. If it doesn't happen this year.
You need a calculator. How many home runs
We're 300, but basically we're going to be less than 300 shy. We're going to be less than 300 shy.
Yeah, that could happen.
So, I mean, if you hit 20 a night, you average 20 a night for the next 12 nights, you're at 240. If you can bump it up to, what is that, two and a half a night? Now we're looking at 300. So, I mean, I think it's definitely in reach. 6,000 is within reach.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I'll also say I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that, you know, next year we set another record.
I'm sure we have a lot of pitchers listening to this show loving this conversation.
I mean, are you kidding me? What, 25 and 12 would be 300. Yeah, so, I mean, that's not out of the realm of possibility. Two and a half home runs per game. I'm going to say they're going to get to 6,000. Forget about it. I'm going out there and saying it. Because now you got a whole bunch of kids that are coming up from the mine. They're going to be playing a lot more games. Everybody's going to be swinging for home runs. They don't care about what's going on here. Maybe guys got clauses in their contracts. They're going to get to 3,000, 6,000. It's going to be close.
You can't have it
there.
There's not a clause that pays.
It's not a home run
bonus.
Clause?
Oh, no.
If you hit 60 home runs in a year?
No.
All right, well, can I just go with that and use that as an excuse?
You can make that up. But,
all right, thank you. I appreciate it.
The accuracy would be a little bit doubtful.
You're listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. And we'll be right back with more after this. There's hits, and then there's all-time rock classics from the 60s and 70s. With classic rock hits on TuneIn, relive the very best sounds that defined an entire generation. If I ever get out of here, thought of giving it all away. Listen to the greatest rock songs in history with classic rock hits on TuneIn. So you think you can snow me a spitfire? And now, time for more of the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and Ned Colletti.
Next up is the Throw Like a Pro segment, where Ned and I key in on a moment, individual, or a team's entire bullpen to open up for discussion. Tonight, we focus on the LA Dodgers bullpen.
Throw Like a Pro on MLB at the Plate, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro.
Yeah, we break down a closer and a bullpen, and tonight it's the Dodgers, and obviously the anchor there is Kenley Jansen, who's having a historically great season. I mean, you look at the whip, the walks and hits and innings pitched, and that to me is one of the telltale indicators of how successful a guy's been. 0.738. So, I mean, if you could have three-quarters of a person, just imagine that, per inning, that's what he's doing. I mean, guys are just not getting on base against him, not scoring against him. Kenley Jansen, great signing, going back to the Dodgers. One of the best closers in Major League Baseball. You can throw his hat in a name for the best, too.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. He hardly walks anybody. So, you watch a lot of games and your team brings a closer in and the first thing he does is walk the leadoff hitter, you know how you feel. He hardly walks anybody. The strikeout-to-walk ratio is really historic. And he competes. He competes every time he's out there, and he wants the ball. He's pitched multiple innings many times. He tells Dave Roberts, whatever you need any day of the year, you just ask me to do it. I'm doing it. And he's been very, very good. He's as many games as Dave won, he has a lot of saves, but you would think that a guy would have maybe 50 or so saves. But that team has been so dominant all year long. Not a lot of opportunities for saves per how many victories that they do have.
Yeah, so it's anchored right there. And then Tony Watson's a lefty that they acquired here at the deadline, and we watched him get out of a jam and get a ground ball double play. How have the in-season additions helped out the Dodgers so far?
Well, in the bullpen, they got Tony Watson, who had been closing in Pittsburgh. They've got him and they got Cingrani from Cincinnati. They got two lefties the last day on the 31st of July. And the idea with Cingrani, who's got a really live arm, was to really help him develop a slider again and get that back. And we've seen progress. I've seen progress with him and also Tony Watson. They got Avalon also in the bullpen from the left side. So they do have three lefties, and they're trying to probably decide if all three end up making the postseason roster. You've also got Hyunjin Ryu, who's pitched pretty well for most of the season here as a starter. But again, this team has got so much starting pitching. He's arguably the sixth starter right now. Him and Maeda go between five and six when you got Wood and you got Kershaw and you got Rich Hill and then Darvish. So a lot of pitching on that team. Somebody will end up in the bullpen from the rotation, maybe two guys. So they'll have a lot of different choices. Somebody that has struggled a bit of late is Pedro Baez, who started to give up some long balls and also had a little struggle with his command from time to time. So he's got to get straightened out for the team to have a better shot of making a good run through October.
You know, I thought that was fascinating, too, with the Dodgers crowd booing Pedro Baez. And then yep. Dave Roberts really, he was flat out irate in a post-game press conference. So you just don't do that.
Well, you know
this guy's given a lot.
It's tough to boo somebody coming into a game. You know, fans have the right to do whatever they really feel like doing within reason. But, you know, if you're in your home ballpark and somebody's getting heavily booed coming into a game, and you look at the first 3 months or 4 months of the season, he was about as good as any setup guy in the game. And he's gone through a little bit of a tough stretch. Most guys do at some point in time. And the fans let him know they didn't appreciate, you know, how it had been going lately. But coming into a game, as Dave Roberts said, it was a little tough to listen to.
Well, then let's move on to the guy that I've been rooting for. Had a chance to catch up with him in spring training. That's Brandon Morrow.
Yes.
And Brandon Morrow is a guy that's had type 1 diabetes. He was with the Blue Jays, bounced around a bit. And having diabetes has really affected him as far as health-wise. He has not been able to stay healthy. And a lot of that has to do with the diabetes. Nonetheless, he's appeared in 41 games this year. I'm rooting big time for this guy. 2.25 ERA. He's got a 190 batting average against. He's got a 0.9 whip. Where does he fit into the equation?
Well, he may be the setup guy. I don't think that they're going to have it predetermined before they get there, but he's going to pitch some key innings. He has been very good. He reaches 100 miles an hour easily with a great slider to boot. He has pitched very, very well. Dave Roberts has really, I think, put him in positions to help him succeed and gain confidence. But he's probably right now as reliable a relief pitcher as they have, not named Kenley Jansen.
All right, so let's talk about the playoffs now and how this bullpen goes. So Kenley is going to be the closer. He's the greatest. It's just a remarkable signing this offseason. And, you know, the Nationals, there have been certain times this year the Nationals have been a little upset that he decided to take a little less of an offer and go back to L.A. as opposed to coming where I am in Washington, D.C. But he obviously made a great choice there. So the setup, man, that's not set in stone yet. Could Baez just win that job outright, or has Morrow pitched his way into a timeshare? Because I never feel like having two guys for that one role is something that a manager really wants to do. He wants some defined roles.
Well, I think in this day and age, I think you're going to see more of a night-to-night choice being made. And I think that Morrow has probably been the last month the second-best reliever besides Kenley. I think if you were going to put people in order right now, you would put Morrow right behind Jansen. That's how good he's been. And Baez has struggled. So I think as of right now, and I'm not sure that they're going to have a set-in-stone type of situation, maybe not even the ninth inning. If you get to the eighth inning in a one-run game and you got 2-3-4 coming up, you may see Jansen then. You may see Jansen for more than an inning. But I do think that right now, if you're going to line them up as far as who has been most effective, I think you'll have a few people ahead of Baez, including Morrow.
All right, and then last but not least, if we're talking about the Dodgers bullpen, let's rewind to last October, Dave Roberts and what he did with Kenley. Now, you had Terry Francona doing the same thing with Andrew Miller. You had Joe Maddon ending up and going and using Aroldis Chapman, running him into the ground. But what Dave Roberts realized last year, hey, I got to ride my horse, throwing Kenley Jansen out there for 5-out saves. I don't remember if there was a 6-out save in there, but would you expect that same type of workload again this year if necessary?
I think so. I think you'll see a lot of creativity from Dave. I think you'll see Kenley Jansen appearances where he'll attempt to get saves that are longer than just three outs. I think that's how he's built. I think that's how they think. And I think last year was a very, very big year for Kenley Jansen. Not only did it set up his free agent contract, but also the way he pitched late in games with the accuracy and the ferocity of the approach that he had and the willingness to pitch more than three outs. I think I think he's kind of established himself as one of the premier guys. That's one of the reasons why. And I think you will see him before the ninth inning in certain games, depending on the situation, depending on what he did before. Don't forget, you've got 4 days off, then you play two games, and then in back-to-back days. Then you have another day off, then you have two more games and another day off. So there's a chance that Kenley Jansen can get more than one inning if necessary from time to time, because you do have an off day after you're only going to play two games in a row unless you get to the LCS. Then you have one stretch with three games in a row and a World Series 3 days in a row. But other than that, you're never going to pitch three straight except for possibly two series in the next 4 weeks. So a lot of opportunity for somebody like Kenley to pitch more than one inning, and I think you'll see him out there doing it.
And that is Throw Like a Pro, presented by our friends at National Car Rental.
You're listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. And we'll be right back with more after this.
Stay up to date on the latest news as it happens on TuneIn.
From American politics to global events, get live 24/7 coverage with some of the top news media outlets in the world,
including CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio.
And when breaking news hits, TuneIn keeps you updated with up-to-the-minute reports and analysis on the biggest stories of the day.
Thank you for joining us with this breaking news report. Really appreciate
day
it.
Day or night, get live news coverage from around the world on TuneIn.
And now, time for more of the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and Ned Coletti.
There were 15 games on Tuesday, and to bring you up to speed on all the action, we got the best day ever. Home run tracker, and statistically speaking.
All right,
best
who do you
day
got
ever, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro.
Who do you got? That's who my question. Who's your pitcher?
My pitcher is Chase Anderson. 6 innings tonight, 5 hits, no runs, no walks, 8 strikeouts, lowered his ZRA to 2.74 for the Brewers. 1-0 victory at Pittsburgh. Key game for Anderson and the Brewers.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mike Montgomery of the Cubs. 6 innings, had a no-hitter going into the sixth, gave up a home run to Brad Miller. Just gave up the one run, the one hit, 6 Ks, no walks. Mike Montgomery, best day ever. At the plate.
At the plate, I'm going to go out to Philadelphia. Big game against the Dodgers for Philadelphia as they try to get more experience, more confidence as they start to rebuild or continue to rebuild. Had a great at-bat today against Pedro Baez, and that was Rhys Hoskins, known for his home run power. A lot of home runs this year already, but had a 3-run double on a 3-2 pitch. A great at-bat, gave Philadelphia a lead, broke a tie on their way to a 6-2 win.
I'm going to do a little audible here. Alex Gordon, who had the lowest qualified OPS among major league hitters this season at 600, probably didn't even know it at the time, but he hit the majors' 5,694th home run this year, setting a single season record in the history of Major League Baseball. Alex Gordon, best day ever, because you needed something good to happen in your life on the field.
There you
go.
So
congratulations.
There you go. Let's get into the home run tracker, Holden.
MLB at the plate home run tracker.
We're going to start with Jose Reyes tonight. Mr. Reyes had the first home run of the night, followed by Kyle Schwarber of the Cubs. Schwarber had the most highest velocity at 114 miles an hour, leaving the ballpark in Tampa, traveled 446 feet. Matt Olson, one of Holden Kushner's favorite players, home run 421 feet, 109 miles per hour for Oakland. Matt Chapman, another long one, 425, 104 miles per hour. Cincinnati, Zach Cozart. Also Domingo Santana. Dodgers, Yasmani Grandal. The Dodgers, for the first time in franchise history, have 6 players with 20 or more home runs for the team. And you can add a 7th in Curtis Granderson, although most of those home runs came as a Met. You have Yadier Molina for the Cardinals, 415 today, 102 miles per hour. Paul DeJean, Kristen Yelich for Miami, Ian Kinsler. Darwin Barney, not known as a home run hitter, but did hit one out tonight. A mere 96 miles an hour for Darwin Barney, but it still counts. Travis d'Arnaud, 412 feet, 102 miles per hour. Brad Miller, 422 feet, 111 miles per hour. The ball left the park. Max Kepler, Alex Presley, and then Alex Gordon, home run this year for Major League Baseball, 5,694. Alex Gordon's home run traveled 409 feet. Jose Altuve, one of the best players in the game, 335 feet, followed by Dexter Fowler, Nick Castellanos, Justin Bour, A.J. Pollock for Arizona, 415 and 103 miles per hour. Scooter Jeanette, who had a four-home run game earlier this year, adding to that total of 5,690-something at this point. J.T. Realmuto, Jed Lowry, and Aaron Altair finishes the home run tracker as of right now. Let's get into statistically speaking, right?
Statistically speaking.
We're going to start with Alex Gordon. Entered the day with a .307 slugging percentage, lowest in Major League Baseball among those qualifying for the batting title, yet hit a historic home run tonight. Sometimes you never know where the spotlight will fall. Max Scherzer now has four straight seasons with at least 250 strikeouts. Only Randy Johnson has a longer streak. Randy Johnson had six in a row, 1997 through 2002. Matt Olson has homered in five straight games for the first time in Athletics franchise history since the Big Hurt. Frank Thomas finished off his Hall of Fame career in 2006. The Cubs starting to put it together, have won seven straight games, the team's longest streak this season. The Red Sox tied the team record for most extra-inning wins in a season, this tonight being their 15th, last done back in 1943. Red Sox also have two shutouts now of 11 innings or longer for the first time in, get this, 101 years. The 1916 Red Sox did it. They also happened to win the World Series that year. And Herrera for the Phillies is the first Philly player with at least 40 doubles in a season since the Washington Nationals outfielder Jason Worth did it in Philadelphia back in 2010.
Nice work, Ned. That's it for the MLB at the Plate podcast. Make sure to join us on MLB on TuneIn at 7 Eastern each weeknight for MLB at the Plate. During the daily five-hour show, you'll not only hear all of what you heard on the podcast, you also have the chance to listen live to the games and get the action as it happens. For Ryan and Dustin in the LA studio and Ned Coletti alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner, and we'll catch you mañana.
Thank you for listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast, presented by National Car Rental. Go national, go like a pro. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. Tune in, your everything audio app.